Would I appreciate it? We're going to book of Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 17. We're going to do something. I thought it's Wednesday night, so we're going to go back to the Proverbs, but we're going to do a little bit different feel than what we kind of have been doing. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. The Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." I want to talk about tonight, really, this evening, about a merry heart at Christmas time, okay? We're coming into the Christmas season and so all the things, and so I want to talk about a merry heart at Christmas. So here, I'm going to start with this. While there is no command to create a yearly holiday, right? There's no command in the Scriptures to create a yearly holiday. The Bible does give multiple divinely approved celebrations of the moment of the birth of Christ. We find over there, I'm not going to turn there, you want to write these down. We find in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14, that the angels celebrated it. And they said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, glory to God in the highest." Listen, if we say it like this, heaven itself celebrated the coming of Christ. Listen, he left heaven and he came to earth, and heaven celebrated his coming to earth, his birth. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, the shepherds celebrated it. The Bible tells us there, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen." Listen, the shepherds celebrated the birth of Christ. We find a little bit later down the road that wise men worshipped Him because of this coming, this birth. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented Him gifts." This was some, can I say this? This was some 2 years, up to 2 years later, where they were still celebrating the birth. Right? Christ's birth was met with joy. Brother Bob, if we could just maybe down just a little bit more. It's kind of coming back and forth at us. Good. And it was met with worship. It was met with praise. The coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, was met with giving. Right? So we see joy, worship, praise, and giving. I think it seems it seems fitting to me that our holiday of Christmas is to be full of those things as well. Celebrating the incarnation, the birth of Christ itself, if not found biblically, I would say this: it's found biblically, if not commanded specifically. Amen? So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. I do another praise. Brother John, you get you're free. Free at last. Free at last. How you feel? A little tender, but you feel free at last. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Does it feel all right? Doesn't have no pain or just pain of just sitting there stiff for that long. But amen. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Number one is this. Christmas is the only truly joyful holiday. Christmas is the only truly joyful holiday. Most holidays are just days off, right? Just days off, not days of real joy. I mean, we talk about sometimes this aggravates a lot of people, like Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a time for picnics and drinking and parties, and right, you know, but though it ought to be a time of mourning, and it ought to be a time of remembering, rather. Think of Veterans Day; it's a time to go get a free meal for me, you know. But a lot of holidays are just a day off, right? But you know, number one under that, people say happy holidays without understanding what joy actually is. Still just reading so much. Okay, so real joy, A under that, real joy only exists when there is a Savior. I want you to turn with me over to, we're going to go over to Luke now. Luke chapter 2. So I wanted to wait till we got here just for a moment, because I want to look at this a little bit, and we're going to see some things here. But I want us to understand this. Real joy, only exists where there is a Savior. Without a Savior, there's not real joy. It's something that's temporary. It's something that's fleeting. It's something and we're going to get to this in just a moment. It's dependent on other things. But Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, we're going to read verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want you to notice some things here. First, I want you to notice the joy is not linked to peace on earth yet. Right? It's not linked to peace on earth. It's not the joy that's coming yet isn't that peace is, by the way, peace hasn't came yet. Still hasn't come yet. So the joy that's coming isn't that there's peace. It's not linked to our comfort. It's not linked to ease. It is linked to the arrival of the Savior. Joy is about the arriving, the coming, the birth of the Savior. The real, the source of real joy is redemption. Without a Savior, there's no true joy. You say, well, redemption didn't happen yet. He was still a babe. I'm telling you, though, you can't have the cross without the incarnation. Right? You can't have the crucifixion without the incarnation. Christ had to be born before he could fulfill what needed to be done. And so this was the beginning of redemption by the Lamb of God coming to the world before he could be later on slaughtered by the world. B, only Christianity, and this is kind of something I want to talk about and get us to think about tonight a little bit. Only Christianity has a holiday centered on joy because it alone has Christ, the only Savior. So, number one, religion offers rules, fear, and rituals. I want you to think about that. Religion, most religions, mostly what they provide, what they offer is rules, right? Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. Fear, if you don't do this, you're going to get this. And if you do do this, you're going to get this, right? By the way, if you do this, you're going to get bad. If you don't do this, you're going to get bad. Almost all religion is focused on using rules as a way to conform us to get us to be what they want us to be. Brings fear. They use fear, and there's rituals, and go along with these rituals to make it feel more religious, really. But Christianity celebrates God coming to us, right? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So let's look at some of these celebrations, some of these religions. Number one, Islam's holiest season is Ramadan, right? So during this time, Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset as an act of obedience. It's self-discipline and spiritual purification. I want you to understand what Ramadan is and what it is to the Muslims. They believe that this obedience, listen to what I'm going to say to you here. They believe that this obedience to the fasting might lead to forgiveness. Could you imagine that? We're doing this hoping that it might work. But here's the thing for them. Final acceptance is never certain because judgment depends on a total balance of the deeds that they have done during Ramadan, as well as Allah's final decision. So could you imagine what their religion teaches, and their most their holiest season of Ramadan is about the Muslim following fasting from sunrise to sunset, and then at the end of this period of time, is it 40 days? Is somebody knows? What's that? 30 days? Maybe I can't remember. I didn't focus that much on it, but and so at the end, they're hoping that at the end of that time, they did enough, and they did it well enough, that their sins could be forgiven from it. But ultimately, they're not promised that. So at the end, the celebration at the end, which is Eid al-Fitr, or something kind of like that, it means, really what it means, and I suppose it's in Arabic, is meaning the breaking of the fast. It's really the end of the celebration is the breaking of the fast, is joy over complete obedience. So they're celebrating a complete obedience, right? And a hope for acceptance of their sacrifice. So what they're doing is they're at the end when they celebrate, they have a party at the end, and a lot of foods, and there's special foods that they have at the end of the Ramadan season. And so what they do is they're celebrating that we did it. We made it through without failing. And we hope, the celebration is we hope it did enough to get our sins forgiven. Wow. It places joy after obedience. Hoping that righteous effort will be accepted in the end. To the contrary, see, Christianity places joy at the beginning, because the Savior has already come. So what I want you to think about with this is we take joy at the coming of Christ because what He is going to do. Not because what we can do and what we can accomplish, but because of what He has done, what He's already done. Something that occurred to me, and I didn't really realize this, I suppose, till sometime in Sri Lanka, maybe other places like that, and just realizing that, wow, all of these other religions, and in Sri Lanka there's Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims, and Catholicism, and all these others, and I thought, man, none of them have a holiday that they're celebrating. I mean, really, truly celebrating. It's all hoping that we can pay enough to get some value in it. So number two, Hinduism includes festivals such as Thai Pusam, where some devotees carry heavy burdens or pierce their bodies as acts of devotion. They literally afflict their bodies in piercing and cuttings and pulling of hooks and different things and the different things, or they'll just put things upon them in a way of afflicting their own bodies in an act of devotion. The stated purpose of it is to show loyalty to a specific deity, to fulfill some vows, and to work off bad karma through suffering. Can I tell you folks tonight, God doesn't work that way. God doesn't afflict us because we do bad things. So remember the story, they're walking by and there's a blind man. And the apostle says to Jesus, is he blind because of his sins or because of his father's sins? This is their thinking. By the way, Judaism had a lot of this thinking. Judaism by that time had a lot of strange things going on. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, ended up becoming something that where they were trying to afflict themselves. They fasted and afflict themselves so that they could find some repentance. I mean, not repentance, but forgiveness through it. To have their sins rolled back, but there was no hope with it. But here we find this thing that said through suffering, we're going to afflict ourselves so that we could say we're worthy to be forgiven, and we'll work off bad stuff by hurting ourselves. Man, it's sad, isn't it? Could you imagine coming to the time of the year, man, it's time. It's time for Thai Pusum. Man, I can't wait for Thai Pusum so I can afflict myself and be forgiven. No. It was a time that all the stuff that I've done, man, I can't wait till Thai Pusum so I can get that cleansed from my record by afflicting myself. I can remember being in Canada, up in Quebec City, not Quebec City, but in Montreal, and into the Basilica. And there was this these steps, concrete steps with rough rocks kind of made into it. And people would drag their bodies up, crawling on them, right, so they could cut, they wanted to cut themselves up so they would bleed in a way of penance, in a way of saying, I'm sorry for what I did. Let me be forgiven because of how sorry I am. Sadness. Again, it places joy after obedience. Oh, I'm sorry, I already said that when I went back. It seeks spiritual cleansing through devotion, vows, and in some cases, suffering to work off bad karma. I said that already. B, Christianity proclaims cleansing through Christ's suffering in our place. Isn't it amazing? The world says we've got to suffer. These other religions say we've got to suffer to be forgiven. God says, no, you can't do it, but I'll come and do it in your place. What we have, folks, what we have is unprecedented. But you know, it's not ours exclusively. What we have is that we've accepted it. So three, Buddhism celebrates Vesak. And it honors the birth, enlightenment, and death of Buddha. Its purpose is to encourage followers to pursue enlightenment through moral living, through meditation, and through detachment from desire. I always laugh. They talk about detachment from desire. What we have to do is we have to get rid of all desire. And I'd say, well, like, so what do you desire most to do? I desire to get rid of desire. I mean, I just don't know how you get rid of desire. It's such a funny, it's such a weird, illogical concept that it doesn't even make sense, but they try it anyway and they keep pushing. Buddha is honored as a teacher. He's not even honored as a redeemer. He's not the redeemer. The reason Buddhism is not considered a religion, it's considered a philosophy, because there is no God. There is no one. Listen, you've probably heard me tell the story. I'm going to tell it again, but the young man that I was working with, and I asked him one day, and I said, who do you cry out to for help? Very devout Buddhist man. And I said, who do you cry out to for help? He said, we have no one. They do not see the Buddha as somebody they cry to. When they see a statue of him or something, when they're bowing, they're not bowing to him. They're bowing to say, I want to be like you. I want to look at you and remember you so that I can be like you, so that I can become enlightened like you. Wow. Buddhism seeks peace through enlightenment, detachment, and moral discipline. Or whatever, if you put the other things, that's fine too. Christianity proclaims peace through reconciliation with God by a living Savior. Listen, it's not everything in Christianity. It's not us. It's Him, right? Number four, Christianity teaches grace received through the finished work of Christ alone. Christmas announces good tidings of great joy because redemption has entered the world. What we have at Christmas is a time for a merry heart because the Savior has truly come. Listen, folks, when we realize what the world... By the way, the world is looking for an answer. Right? But can I tell you where their answer, where they're looking at? They're looking really, honestly, they're looking at the man in the mirror. They're looking for to themselves to fulfill their own answer. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this. And you say, listen, Jesus says, come, all you that labor and heavy burden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I will give it to you. And they're like, no, it can't be that simple. We say, listen, ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Trust Him to be your Savior and He'll forgive your sin. People are like, no, it's too easy. I've got to do it. You know what the problem is? Sometimes we trust Christ and then we go back to that. And we go back to the thinking that I must be afflicted. That I must do. We still got what I like to call the stinking thinking. Yeah, these girls know it, by the way. They both help me. Look at number two. A merry heart comes from God, not circumstances. So a happiness depends on what happens, right? I want you to remember that. Happiness depends on what happens. Right? Could you ever expect it to be happy and it didn't work out? Things didn't happen like you expected? Are you still happy about it? No, absolutely not. Yeah, you're unhappy, mad. Sometimes you're mad, sometimes you're angry, sometimes you're hurt, sad, all those other things. Joy depends on who you belong to, right? So joy doesn't depend on circumstances. Christmas joy is God-given, not situation-controlled. The shepherds still had hard lives, right? Yet they received good tidings of great joy. Christ's birth brought joy, even though nothing around them became easier. Life didn't become easier, but joy came. Right? Joy was there because of the birth, not because the situation got so much better. Hey, now life is easier. Christ is coming. No, listen, number one, Mary and Joseph still had trials. They still had danger. They still had poverty. But joy came because the Savior arrived, not because life got simple. I'm saying, see, let Christmas time be a time to have a merry heart. You know, it'll do your heart good. The worst Christmas I ever had was the Christmas I tried not to do Christmas. I did. I said, I'm so tired of commercialism. I'm tired of all this stuff. We're not buying any presents this year. We're not going to do any of the Christmas stuff. We didn't do any of it. We had a birthday party for Jesus. That day was good, but I'll tell you, the rest of it, I had to work so hard not to be merry. Everybody wanted to be merry. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing it. You know, I almost like wanted to grumpify myself. We don't do Christmas. Man, you know, a little bit of merry do your heart some good, right? Number two, let's celebrate what they celebrated, that the Savior had come, right? Listen, God's plan of redemption had arrived, redemption. It's of the R and the F. It just didn't finish that top loop. God's plan of redemption had arrived. Can I say this to you, B, hear this? I believe it's still worth celebrating. I don't want to pretend like we're commanded to celebrate Christmas. I can't understand why an event that heaven, earth, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, wise men that came from, they all celebrated that. I think it's completely appropriate. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses don't celebrate Christmas because they believe it came from pagan backgrounds, and so they're not wanting anything to do with it. I actually don't know that I completely disagree with them. I think Christmas did come. Some of the holiday came from that time period. And I think what happened is there was a transfer. There's pagans. We're celebrating this time. Let's displace what they're doing with what we're going to do. I actually don't find the problem with that. I actually find that a positive instead of a negative. Instead of celebrating something wicked, let's turn it into something wonderful. The world's going to worship or celebrate. Let's
let's turn it into the celebration of Christ. People say, yeah, but they're still celebrating paganism. I'm telling you, I've seen around the world. I've seen around the world, folks. I mean, I've been there. I've been to the Muslim world. While they're playing in the airports, Christian Christmas music, Christmas carols over the loudspeaker in a Muslim community. Call it pagan roots if you want to. I think it's wonderful, right? In Sri Lanka, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Hindus, they wanted to come and during that time and hear about Jesus Christ. Tell me about your God. Tell me about your God at Christmas time. They were more open than any other time. Listen, you could say what roots it came from. I don't care. I think it's a time to be married. I think it's still worth celebrating. I really do. With all the other things going on during this season, let this be the thing that gives you the joy of the season. That our Savior's come. He's here. The happiness will pass with circumstances. There's a lot of things at Christmas that, I mean, it does. Hey, by the way, I don't think we should have happiness. That's dumb. Come on. I'm happy when happy things come. Amen? I like it when the Dallas Cowboys win the game at the last 2 minutes. Amen? That makes me happy. You know, when they don't win, I'm disappointed, but happiness leaves. I don't know if I want to say I've become unhappy. I'm not that sold into sports, but it makes me happy when they win. John's been at my house and I'm watching him. You know, he's happy. I'm happy watching Christmas movies and drinking hot chocolate. It makes me happy. At the end of the season, I'm tired of it. I'm ready to get the lights down. Happiness is over. You know why? Circumstances are over. Happiness is going to pass. Okay? But we can carry the joy of Christmas continually. That is the birth of our Savior. By the way, that should be who we are. Celebrating the joy of the birth of our Savior. He came to this earth, and I don't think we should do it this way, but it's almost like, man, we've got Nana and Boo Boo. We got something to celebrate, and you don't. I don't know. You can have him, though, because we're not really Nana and Boo Boo, you know? We're not saying, look what I have, and you don't. We're saying, look what I have, and you can have, too. And I'm so excited I have something to give you. Let's carry that joy. Because you know what? A merry heart doeth good. Like a medicine. I got more to give you here. We don't have it. It's next week. But, a medicine is healing. And I'll tell you, some of the grumpiest people I know are those that try to find ways to get out of being happy. You know, merry heart, merry, the joy of the Lord is our joy. Of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord is our strength. And let's remember, carry it through us. Father, let's all stand. Father, we're thankful for this time tonight. We're thankful for the coming of our Savior, the true joy of our world. Lord, I pray that you would help us to really rejoice in it, in that, in a way that the world can see something different from happiness that's situation-based. It's a joy that remains even when there's poverty, even when there's suffering, even when there's sickness, even when there's problems, that we would still have the joy of the Lord, because that is really our strength. And Lord, we have so much to be joyful for. We're thankful for our Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help us through the course of this season that we might really believe it's an event we're celebrating. And well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name.